What's up, FC Dallas fans? Welcome back to DTID, the official FC Dallas podcast. I'm your host, Garrett Melser, and for today's episode, I sat down with Andre Zanata, FC Dallas' technical director. And for anyone who doesn't know, a technical director is essentially a general manager for the sporting side of the club, which includes player transfers, player welfare, coaching hires, and whatnot. And Andre goes into more detail about what his job actually entails later on in the podcast. We also spoke about his education and life in Brazil, how he became a technical director, his role in the transfer of Neymar from Santos to Barcelona in 2013, and eventually why he decided to come to MLS and FC Dallas. I hope you guys enjoy the show, and as always, if you have any suggestions for future guests, please reach out to me on Twitter at Garrett Melser. Andre, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Garrett. It's nice to be here with you.
So before we dive into your career path and whatnot, maybe go ahead and explain a little bit to the listeners what exactly your job role is as a technical director here at FC Dallas.
Alrighty. Well, there are different names in the league for that position. So some teams, they have the GM, others sporting director, vice president of soccer operations, or here in FC Dallas, I'm the technical director. The league calls us as chief soccer officers, the CSOs. So, but basically, what we do is we oversee the entire soccer operations and everything that is related to the soccer department, from academy to first team. There's so many, like, obviously what we're most known for and what brings more curiosity from fans is just when we're signing players or transferring players. That's what they think. Many people think that's the most part of our jobs, but that's also a part of our job. But we're involved in basically everything. We have staff working directly involved in specific things, but for example, logistics. So we're constantly travel to play away, and I get involved in discussions when we need to decide on certain things about hotels or flight times or those things, and just equipment in general that we wanna have in our physical department or in for our athletic trainers. So there are a lot of things, and what I used to say is I like to and I'm managing the staff and all the different processes we have here. So I think that's one of the main things I do, and I want the coaching staff, the players, just to be focused on training, on games. So everything else must be working really well, so they can be totally focused on those things that are what really matters to us.
So it's not just signing players. I think that's what a lot of fans might think.
Exactly. No, it's a lot more than that.
Okay, so let's take a little step back. You're from Brazil. Obviously, soccer is the biggest thing down there. Being from there, did that mean that you always wanted to work in soccer or in play soccer? How did your interest in this sport and this industry begin?
Yeah, so I think when you're born in Brazil, you have not much choice, like, but you love soccer. And I'm proud to say my country has more World Cups, and obviously the men's FIFA World Cup than any other country. So very proud of the so many talents that came from Brazil. So I grew up in that environment, and when you're young, you want to be a soccer player. So I played amateur, played in college, but I knew I wasn't good enough to become a pro. And then so I wanted to combine. I come from a family of lawyers. My father is a lawyer, my mom's a lawyer, my brother. And it was kind of like the direction I was going to work in law firms, but was not. I wanted to combine that with sports, so I started to. I did master in sports law after finishing law school, and started studying also sports management. I worked in the law firm just with the sports law, based in international cases at FIFA and the Court of Arbitration for Sports. And then by then I realized how how the clubs in Brazil or South America in general, they lacked people with just experts in this area and or someone that could help them in that. I speak English, I speak Spanish, so I could help them in negotiation because they only spoke Portuguese. That's the language in Brazil. So, and when I got involved in those negotiations, mostly about on signing and transferring players, I was really excited to do that. And I said, that's what I want to do. So then I quit working in law firms. I went to study in Europe. And from then, from that, I did the FIFA Master, and it's one of the most renowned masters in business of sports, and there are. It's in Europe, and then from there, I started my career in clubs.
Gotcha. I'm going to ask more about the FIFA Masters, and because I'm really interested in what that program is, because I hadn't heard of it until you came to FC Dallas, and I wrote a little profile about you when you first joined, and I found it interesting. But real quick, as an aside, during your high school days, you actually studied abroad in North Texas in this area. What was that like?
Yeah, that was amazing experience. So I have one brother. He's 3 years older. He was an exchange student in Oregon, 1994, and he loved the experience. And then with my parents, I told them I wanted to do that as well. So I applied to a program to become an exchange student in the U.S. to study the senior year in high school. Mm-hmm. And you don't know where you're going to end up to. Where. So it's a host family from a trophy club, a city in the Dallas area chose me. And I went to trophy club, which is about 30 minutes from where we are right now. I studied in Northwest High School in Justin, Texas, Trophy Club. By that time, there was no high school. I had to drive every day to school, about like 10, 15 minutes to school. Mm-hmm. And I studied Justin and Northwest High School in Justin. I was part of the soccer program there. We were very successful. Like, we had a very good team. We won the first tournament for the school that year. So it was really amazing. And coincidentally, 21 years later, I was back here. So that was, I already was familiar, and Texas was already something that I really enjoyed.
It's a pretty wild coincidence. Is that also where your love for country music first started?
Yes. Kind of like started when my brother came back from the US, and he had some Garth Brooks, Alan Jackson, George Strait's CDs at that time. But when I came to Texas, like, I saw how big it is here. But at that time, I feel it was even more. It's still my favorite.
That's very funny. So back to the your education, the FIFA Master in Management. Is that the correct phraseology, I guess, for that?
It's called FIFA Master in Management, Law, and Humanities of Sports.
Okay,
that's the full name.
So how do you take part in that? I'm sure it's a rigorous, you know, application process. And what is it like going through that? And what is what are classes like, really?
So as I said, I wanted to quit the law firm. I didn't want to be stuck in only the legal side of sports. I wanted to be part more in the management side, especially working for clubs. So I thought doing this master would open my vision to other areas and what, just really be able to do this career shift. And so I knew FIFA Master was very, very well known in the soccer industry. So FIFA, they choose every year. I still believe that it's like that, but they choose every year maximum of 30 students from all over the world. So you have to apply, and I won't remember right now, but there are many criteria. I did the FIFA Master in 2009. Mm-hmm. I was the 10th edition. Mm. Right now it's already 22nd probably. So you have to apply it, and you have to show you have to present a letter of recommendation. I brought one from the Brazilian FA, so the Brazilian Soccer Federation, that I was the client of the law firm that I was working at that moment. So I remember I got accepted in April, and the program starts in September. And so the FIFA Master is divided in three modules. One is in Leicester in England. Mm-hmm. It's the humanities module. The management module is in Milan, in Italy. And the last module is in Neuchâtel in Switzerland. It's okay. The sports law module. So it's FIFA. FIFA is a multicultural entity, mm-hmm. right? There's more than 200 countries that are a member of FIFA. And so they like this diversity of mm-hmm. having the students are from all over the place. So I had students from Japan in my class, from Saudi Arabia, from Israel, from Poland, from the US, from Canada, from Chile, from Mexico, from Trinidad and Tobago. Mm-hmm. So it's really... makes you there's so much value in being with these people and mm-hmm. learning other cultures, and besides the program, which gives you an amazing network, so it was I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. After that, was that you went to Santos after that, is that correct? Would that have been your first job?
No, I went to Mexico.
Okay.
I went to work in Atlante FC in Mexico. So I met during the FIFA Master, I met the general director of Atlante FC. Atlante was at that time in Mexican La Liga, in first division in Mexico. And that was my first moment to put a club in my CV. That was really important. Mm-hmm. So I was, Atlante is, it's not a big club in Mexico. They changed the owners twice already, I think, since I left. And the club went to second division. But at that time, they had just won the CONCACAF Champions mm-hmm. in 2008. Played the FIFA Club World Cup in 2009, and I got there in 2010, right after the FIFA Master. I stayed for one season. We brought a coach, the Miguel Herrera, who's the current coach of Tigres, and after that, after Atlante, he went to America to the national team of Mexico. So, and to learn more about Mexican league was amazing. And I went, after Atlante, I went back to Brazil, worked in a company called Traffic Sports just for 1 year. They had an office here in Miami as well. And they owned, I was in charge of the clubs. Mm-hmm. They own a club in Portugal at that time. They sold already to Estoril and a club in Brazil that they sold to a Chinese group. And 2012, I arrived in Santos. So... Mm-hmm. Two years after the Master.
Gotcha. Okay. And so Santos, you were in a similar position you are here, you know, director of football kind of sort mm-hmm. of thing. And I'm interested because at that time, Santos was maybe the best team in Brazil. It was near the Copa Libertadores time and the Club World Cup. And obviously Neymar. Neymar was there at that time. And every time, if you Google your name, oftentimes there's articles saying, you know, involved in the... transfer of Neymar to Barcelona. So I want to ask, what was that whole process like? Because I remember it happening at the time. It was everywhere. It's probably the biggest transfer saga I can remember. But what was it like being part of that and seeing it from the inside?
Yeah, it was obviously big because like Neymar is a player that was in Santos for such a long time and had like very... I'm very attached to the club mm-hmm. and seeing him daily was something incredible. Just seeing him in training, yeah. what you see in games, I was seeing every day in training, some yeah. dribbles that be like, how did he do that? Some goals and his desire and how much he loves the game. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the regen after we played one on Sunday, the Monday is a regen. The reserves are going to play. The players that didn't mm-hmm. get enough minutes are going to play on Monday.
Yeah.
He wanted to play on Monday because wow. of like how much he loves the game. But we knew we could not keep him for a long time. And So 1 year before the World Cup in Brazil, the World Cup in Brazil was in 2014. So in approaching the summer of 2013, we had a conversation with his father. Santos was, like many South American clubs, in financial problems and would be important to just sell a player, especially his caliber. And his father and Neymar thought, being 1 year in Europe, where the best players are, where the best leagues are, would be important for him to have that experience playing in Europe before playing the World Cup, because we knew how big it was for Brazil to host a World Cup in our country. So, and then it was just Real Madrid, Barcelona, always there and beating for him and speaking with the players, speaking with the father and trying to get him. And it was crazy. But he showed that he wanted to go to Barcelona. He felt that was the best place for him. And there was no doubt that he was going to be successful because of the talent, the personality. And so it's seeing a guy like him, it's like you don't see very often. So, it was being part of that it's amazing.
Incredible stuff.
I'll tell my grandchildren.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, one of the best players of this generation, no doubt. And then after Santos, Sporting Recife, then Grêmio, and then eventually here at FC Dallas. You'd been working in Brazil mainly, as well as Mexico early on. What made you want to come to MLS? It's a very different league and a very new league in a lot of ways.
So, as you said, after Santos, I spent 3 years in Santos, and then I went to Sport Recife, spent 1 year there, club, different dimension than what Santos and Grêmio are in Brazil, but still with passionate fans and in another region that was always... Every club that I worked at was like you learned so much, and then after Sport Recife, I went to Grêmio. We had two magical years, winning Copa Libertadores, being in the Club World Cup, playing the final against Real Madrid. I said I was in the bench on that game, so I saw Cristiano Ronaldo, Sergio Ramos, and Benzema, and
that's crazy.
All those Modric and all those guys so close. This was 2017, 2018. We also won the Copa Sudamericana. We won again the State Cup, which is relevant in Brazil. And in the end of the, so I knew Luis Muzy, who was the director of soccer operations here at FC Dallas, FC Dallas was interested in Brisson.
Oh yes, Brisson.
So Brisson was the center back in Grêmio, and I was the sporting director in Grêmio. So Luis approached me. We started negotiating Brisson, and after we finished, he told me, "Hey, I spoke with the owners here. I got an offer from Orlando City, and I decided to accept it. Do you want me? Can I recommend your name to the Hunts here?" Mm-hmm. I said, "Yes." Because Luis, that company that I said I worked after Atlante, Traffic Sports, he was the director in the Traffic USA. So I knew him from that time.
Okay.
And then after working there, he came to FC Dallas Fernando Clavijo was also worked in that company before.
I didn't know any of that.
Yeah. Okay. So they both came. Fernando came before, and then he brought Luis to FC Dallas. And, so Luis knew and we kept in contact, and I told him I wanted, like, because the it's brutal to work in South American clubs. It's really crazy, and I wanted to have another experience working abroad after working in Mexico. And the US is a place that I loved to live when I was in high school, and he knew that, and when he asked me if he couldn't recommend my name, I said obviously yes. That would be something I would be highly interested. And then I got a call from Dan Hunt, And he wanted to talk to me. He asked me to come to Dallas, and mm-hmm. I'm here for fourth season now.
Perfect. So what was that transition like, going from something you knew really well in Brazil to MLS, which has a lot of unique characteristics and how it works? What were some of the main differences in learning curves that you learned? Because there's some interesting and unique rule sets in this league versus others. Yeah.
So it's a good question, because we it's really different, and especially for me. So I totally left, even though it's hard to say, like you're in a comfortable zone working in any soccer club anywhere in the world, but especially in South America. But when I come here, like, it's not my native language. Mm. It's not the culture I'm used to. Mm. And besides, as you said, MLS is extremely particular in their rules, and they have the MLS has here in the US. So, but I knew I had to adapt. So it's when you come to a new place, you cannot expect people or the environment to adapt to you. You have to adapt to where you're going to. So, and I was keen to doing that. I follow a sports in America since I was here. I like football. I watch NBA. I watch a little bit of baseball, and I used to like it. And when I was here, the Dallas Stars was really good team. Mike Modano was superstar at that time, so I used to follow a lot of hockey when I lived here. So I knew more or less how the American sports system worked. But obviously when you start working in a club in a major league in the US and with so many specific rules, you understand that it's way more deeper than you thought.
Oh yeah.
But that was the biggest challenge, because and getting to know more what the league is. I really believe that this league can be one of the top leagues in the world. Mm-hmm. And I think the sport of the game of soccer is growing so rapidly here in the US that other than that, with such a, like, you know, Garrett, how many different nationalities we have in the first team and the second team, and so everybody bring in their own experience in soccer. So and I just need to do all my efforts to learn and get used to the reality here.
Mm-hmm. You talked about how MLS, you know, its goal is to be one of the big players in terms of the biggest leagues in the world. Is there anything, and this can be very general, but that the league would need to do, what directions it would need to go to reach that? Or is it just a matter of it would just take time because most leagues around the world have 100 years head start on us?
Yeah, it's not easy. As you said, there are leagues with more than 100 years, or the countries that those organized soccer is being played for such a long time, and the top leagues in Europe are always going to be amazing leagues, but I think we are on the right track. I think the league is doing a good job and just making some changes in the rules from time to time to allow clubs to bring high quality players. I think obviously we're all concerned, every club in MLS is concerned about what product we deliver to our fans, to the sponsors. So we want to bring the best possible and entertain our fans with the best possible soccer. Obviously we have limitations. The league has been adapting. I think there are many things in soccer that needs to be more controlled and organized. Mm-hmm. And I think the league does well here in the US, but some other things, I think the league has been trying to not losing the cultural aspect you have in the US, and also linking to what the other leagues are doing. Mm-hmm. Because when you compare those NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, those four leagues, they are the best league in those sports in the world. Yeah. So every basketball player, they want to play in the NBA. Yeah. every baseball player, they want to play in MLB or the hockey player. NFL, like, there's no one else plays football, so it's
they're
over
not,
here.
Yeah, they're not competing for players with
For European us, it's a global game. Yeah. So we are competing with players with Japan. We're competing with players with Argentina. Mm-hmm. And I was just speaking with another MLS club here, and they were trying to sign a player, and the player signed in Brazil right now. Hmm. So, and also not all the players, they want to play in the US. Mm-hmm. They want to play in Europe.
Yeah.
So it's for us, it's a much bigger challenge. Mm-hmm. And also the fact that there is no academies for for football, for basketball, soccer. We have academies. Mm-hmm. We have to develop our own players here. Mm-hmm. So there's some things that are very different in soccer than the reality of those other major sports in the US.
Yeah.
That I think we need to be closer to where the other big markets are, what they're doing, but without obviously losing the cultural aspect that is also important. It's an identity of this country that I think with the players coming from college, the draft, right, and those like the West, the East, and there are so many things that are, we have the playoffs, which every other team is just like points and regular season with whoever finished, and we have the playoffs. So anyway, I think it's a balance that I think things are moving the right direction.
Mm-hmm. It really is a balancing act, though, trying to how far do you want to go in terms of being similar to the rest of the world's leagues and keep it your own league and keep it American. So that's an interesting take. So let's just go to some easier, fun questions to finish it off. What would you say is your favorite soccer memory?
Oof, I gotta say my favorite soccer memory is winning Libertadores. It's hard to describe the emotion when, like, you work so hard, you know how big it is to win in continental competition.
And this was with Grêmio, correct?
With Grêmio in 2017, we played Lanús in the final. Lanús, a club from Argentina. And but you fight so hard the whole year to get to this moment, and we had such a team with a great mentality, and I can tell you every minute of that day on the day we won, and when we got to the stadium, and my feeling during the game, and I couldn't stay in the stands because, like, it was dangerous to us, and then I had to watch most of the game in the locker room in a small TV. It was crazy, but after, like, the feeling when the team wins and I think 2018 was the last year, so we still played home and away. We won both games. 1-0 the first game and 2-1 the second game, and but that's, I think it's something I will never forget.
Who are some of the players in that team that the wider soccer audience would know who don't watch Brazilian soccer exclusively?
I think the MVP of the final was Arthur. He played in, he's now playing in Juventus. And it was curious that Arthur, he got injured in the end of the first half. So he couldn't go back, and he still got the MVP of the final just playing one half.
One half
to see how good he played in that half.
Good 45 minutes.
Yeah. So we had our goalkeeper is now playing in Saudi Arabia, but he was great. He played in the national team Brazil, Marcelo Groi. The center backs, they both played in. Jeromel played the 2000. Pedro Jeromel, he played the 2018. He was in the roster of the 2018 World Cup for Brazil. Walter Kahneman was the other. He was called up many times to Argentina national team. So Luan was the star of that team. He had many teams interested in him from Europe. We had a. Our team was the best of that team was just the winning mentality and how that group was, like, they would not accept together losing. There is no way. Exactly.
What is, in terms of entertainment value, what's the best game you've watched in person live?
They're like tough not to mention a game that I was involved and mm-hmm. and like there was one it's we never like to concede too many goals, but there was one game that it's crazy that my time in FC Dallas, unfortunately we lost that game, but was the playoff game against Seattle. Mm. We lost 4-3.
First one against Seattle.
And oh my gosh, there was they scored 2-0. We went back 2-2. Then they scored 3-2, and in the end of the game we scored 3-3, and we had a clear chance in the last minute to score 4-3, and it went to overtime, and we lost in the second half of overtime. So and there was one, the first one that I remembered was when I was Sport Recife, and we played just a league game, Brazilian league game against the biggest rival of Sport Recife. It's called Santa Cruz. And it was kind of similar, but we won. Mm-hmm. They scored 2-0. We tied 2-2. Then after we tied 2-2, in the next minute, they scored 3-2. And then after 10 minutes, we scored 3-3. And in the 45th, the 90th minute, we scored 4-3. Mm-hmm. And in the added time, we scored 5-3. So, like, was...
back and
a
forth.
Lot of it was very entertaining for fans because a lot of goals, but mm-hmm. and it was nice and because it was a derby, a local derby.
Oh, okay, yeah, that always adds an extra wrinkle to it. Second to last one, and this one might be a little tricky. Who will win the World Cup this year? But you can't say Brazil or the United States.
Oof. Well, I hope Brazil first and then U.S. second. But if I cannot say that, I will go with... I think France has a very strong team.
Yeah.
And I think they're one of the favorites to win it. So mm-hmm. I hope they don't, but...
that's
I
fair.
Think they have a good chance.
It's crazy how the player development they have, because you could look at their second team and it could probably make the semifinals of the World Cup or something.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing how much talent that country has. All right, last one for you. If you weren't working in soccer or sports, what career path would you have taken?
Country singer.
Country singer. That's perfect.
I would be living in Texas and singing country music.
Love that, Andre. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It was great speaking to you, Garrett.